I want to thank the Lord for all the work that has been done here for this camp meeting and for all the people that have contributed to the success of this meeting. For all the little things that's been done, I just appreciate all the hard work and everything people have put in to make this meeting possible. And I'm glad to be saved this morning. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. And I would like for you to pray for us today. I have a burden on my heart that I'd like to share with you today. Could we look in the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter, and we'll start at the 25th verse. Matthew 20 and 25. I'd like to talk to us today about having a servant's heart. I believe it's important that each of us have that. And I believe God wants to help us to be better servants for Him. That's my desire also. The 25th verse says, "But Jesus called them unto Him and said, Ye know the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." We notice here, again in Mark, I believe 10 and 45, we'll read this. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That servant's heart that our Lord and Savior had is something that I desire in my life, and I hope you desire in yours also. We have been blessed with so many things. I woke up this morning and was thinking of that song, "America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain." A beautiful song, a beautiful thing that we have been bestowed so many good things upon, and we have been blessed in so many ways, and we have the great salvation that is so wonderful to us today. I do thank the Lord today for salvation and for all the things that He has bestowed upon us. And we surely want to have, each of us, a servant's heart. A servant's heart, I believe, is necessary for us. I have a few things to read. I write a lot of things when I catch some good points, so I have a few things here to read to us this morning. Think about serving, what it means to serve. It is looking for opportunities. It is looking for places, even from the smallest things sometimes. I was in a parking lot and I noticed, I might get in trouble, so one of my parishioners that I just happened to be sitting there eating lunch, and they whipped in quick and they got them a best parking spot. And it wouldn't have been so bad if they hadn't, somebody else was lining up to get that. And I thought, oh my. They didn't recognize it. They didn't really recognize. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't see that, I don't think. But I thought, now, Lord, help us today, a servant's heart. It goes a long ways. It goes just being careful where we're at and what we're doing. looking for opportunities to help people, looking for ways to serve, looking for ways to serve. I've been really in places where I've wondered, why isn't there somebody here doing, why wasn't somebody thoughtful of this? A servant's heart will cause you to think about the needs of others, and I really desire that today in my life, and I hope every one of us. But we're caught up in the fast lane. But many of us, you know, it's where the world we live in. It's the fast lane, and we want to get there quick. We don't want anybody to cut us off. We don't want anybody to get in our way. We have a place to go, so get out of my way. Get out of my way and let me get there first. And I find there's something that kind of contrasts with the Christian life and really what God wants us to do. It's a rub against us sometimes when we think about letting someone else go ahead. You don't have to be the first in line. You don't have to be the first that runs up there and serve me. But you're willing to take out the trash before you're served. You're willing to do a little bit of something before you're served. Lord, give us a servant's heart. We're caught up in this fast lane, though. And I thought about a statement that Colonel James Irwin, the former astronaut, and when he was coming back and part of his crew, they were looking at the Earth, and they was beholding the glory of the Earth and everything. And he was returning home, and he got to thinking about how many people would name him a celebrity. This was going to put me in a status of being a celebrity. And he got to thinking about that, and he realized something that really stuck to my heart. He said, "I am a servant on God's planet Earth to share what I have experienced that others might know the glory of God." To me, that's a servant's heart. It's not nothing that really I've done. Don't put me in all the lights because I'm just a servant. And I want others to know of the glory of God. Jesus here, he is such an example to us. And he says here, if you wish to be someone great, you be a servant. You be a servant, first of all. In God's family, there is to be one great body of people. Servants. That's our title today. That is our desire. And I believe for the family of God, if anything can be said about them, they were good servants. In fact, when it comes to the end, Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not how big we were. It's not how many people we preached to. It's not how many people that we were acquainted with, but "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to put something here on the board that will explain everything. That little triangle, I, me, mine, myself, gets us into a lot of trouble, doesn't it? I, me, mine, myself. The monument here, this is self. I was listening one time, and I'm sorry, but I happen to listen to sometimes when preachers preach. And I counted the times that I heard these I, me, mine, myselfs. I done this, and I done that, and it went up over 50 times, and I thought, Lord, help us today. We've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. God wants to help us. It's not what we accomplish. It's not all the goals. I know to the world that means everything. That means everything. Your degree and your accomplishments, it means a lot. I mean, you've sacrificed. I don't want to minimize what you've done, but what purpose does it have really in the kingdom of God? We need everything that we accomplished, really, we owe to God. We owe it all to Him. Watch for the monument. I, me, mine, myself. The Lord wants to bless us today. The book of Colossians, I'd like to look in the first chapter here. Please bear with me just a few moments. There's some scriptures that are so necessary to us today. The book of Colossians 1, 15 through 18. The Lord is interested in having first place in everything we do. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, that He might have first place. You know, recognizing God in everything, recognizing that it's just not me, but it's God. It's God that gives us all things. I'm thinking a time we were in Mexico, and there was this engineer that came there to this building that there was a whole lot of trouble in. And this man had a lot of education and things, but it kind of got to his head, and he was. At the end of this meeting, he was going around the room shaking everybody's hand, and he was just kind of feeling good that day that he was who he was. And when he turned around to leave, he runs smack into a closed sliding glass door. He didn't see it was open, or it was closed. Oh, I tell you, it just shook that room. I thought it was going to break. But more than that, it was his pride. Oh, to have gone around and to put himself, if I can help you in any way, here I am. Just, I'll help you any way I can. And he run right into that door. And oh, I don't know what his face looked like on the other side of that glass pane, but it had an impression. It made an impression. How God is able to bring us down. How He is able to keep us down in a place where we see what we are. We're really not very much. I want to think about this for a moment. He said He wants to be in all things. He might have the preeminence. He might get the glory from all that is done. It's nothing that we can do, nothing in our own strength. I want to read something about Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and 10. Paul was a wonderful servant. And it says this, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present." A writer said this about Paul. His letters are weighty. His personal presence is unimpressive. Paul was a man of moderate stature with curly hair and scanty crooked legs, protruding eyeballs, large knit eyebrows, a long nose and thick lips. He suffered terribly from poor eyesight. Plus, some are convinced he had a hunchback. He had needs and admitted them. Servants do that. He didn't hide them. He didn't have everything in life wired perfectly. Paul admitted his humanity. And that's something that's very hard for some of us to do. We want to tell somebody all of our weak points. We want to tell somebody everything that is our good points. And that's human nature. And remember, every man's right in his own eyes. And you always want to put your best foot forward. That's human nature. But Paul was also recognized. He also recognized he was human. And he had some places that were not real strong in his life. And sometimes to admit those is very difficult for us to do as humans. You see, we want to be this servant that has everything in line. We want to be this servant that there's no flaws. We don't want anybody especially to know of our flaws. You keep those things hidden. Don't show your flaws. It shows how weak you are. What do we do if we follow the pattern of the world and we try to be this person that's this superwoman or superman all the time, and we want to be this and present to the world that we're infallible, that we have no weak points, that we can just bulldoze and we can do all of these things, we can push our way through, and we're this and that? You know, I'm thinking about the local bartender. Sometimes the local bartender puts us to shame. He has people come in and they go, he looks at them and he says, "Man, you having a hard time?" "Yeah, it's been rough." And he sympathizes with them. "I know what you're going through." Hands them a drink. Gives them something, you know. And sometimes we put on this front that we're really something. We're really something. And somehow, some way, we miss the mark of what a servant is. If we lose and disconnect from God and we forget really who we are, we're not going to be able to help humanity. I have had opportunities to sit with the broken, and I know you have too. It's better to sit with the broken people than to stand up with the proud. Better to sit with them and understand and sympathize and share a tear with them sometimes and say, "I really feel for what you're going through. I haven't maybe experienced at all what you have, but I hear you this morning." Amen. You see, a servant's heart will hear. A servant's heart. It's necessary for us today. Our children are growing up in a world that is full of pride. And they're growing up and everybody is pumped up to be this somebody super, somebody that's infallible, somebody that can't make mistakes. I thought of how vain that is sometimes. How vain people get their idols all built up, and they just think they're something else. Oh, to be like them. I'm going to buy their clothes. I'm going to buy their perfume. I'm going to buy their t-shirts. I'm going to buy their toys. I'm going to buy their tennis shoes. I'm going to buy their balls and their toy. Everything they got, because they have got it all. And then come to find out that person that you thought was so great, they have trouble with drugs and addictions. They have problems that you didn't know about. And you come to find out they've sunk to a low, low level. and you get all disappointed. Oh, we don't want to put confidence in the flesh. We want to trust in God. We're human. We need God's help. We're in a world that is, their eyes are so far and nose sticking up, they forget to look down. God help us today. Watch for the monument in your life, because the world is trying to pump us up and say, you know, have it your way. Do yourself a favor. You owe it to yourself. You deserve a break today. Hadn't we heard those slogans before? Just have it your way. You know, you deserve something. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Oh, we're in a time people love to do that. Oh, I'm going to treat myself. I've been really working. I need to treat myself to something. Lord, help us think about the Lord. And he didn't have a place to lay his head. God help us today. We're living in the me era. The me era. I have a quote here from Wilbur Ries, R-E-E-S, and he said this: I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the external in a paper sack. I'm sorry, the pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Well, God wants to help us today. There's a lot of people want $3 worth of God. You ever thought about it? Sometimes we come here, come to service sometimes, and some people come for maybe an hour and 15 or 20 or 30 minutes a week. That's what we give to God. We show up. Here I am. Don't you all love me? Here I am for an hour and a half, and we sometimes get our phones out and we're texting on our phones in that hour and a half time that all the week has gone by, and we come to a day of worship and we find time just to sit here, maybe in text on our phone or to write little letters or something, maybe even catch a nap. I've had that happen. Some people said, you're the one that put them to sleep. I don't know about that, but I think some just, they're tired out. They're wore out and come to church. Well, they stayed up till midnight on Saturday nights and come to service. And what do we expect? We want $3 worth of God, please. We want just enough to get us by. We don't want anything to rub. We don't want anything to cause us trouble. Just give me $3 worth, please. God wants to help us today. He wants to help us to have a servant's heart. In an hour and a half's time that you would be in service on Sunday morning, it's not enough to get you by. We must take time for God. We must take time to be a servant. There's sometimes that servants have to learn a few lessons. I'd like to look in the book of 2 Kings. I'd like to look at a servant here. The servant of Elijah. Servants. Servants have a job. And here is Gehazi. Gehazi was Elijah's servant. He was a man that was mentioned different times here. If I look in the 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, Gehazi was one that seemed like he was called upon to do different things. I'm sorry, it's Elisha's servant. I said Elijah. It's Elisha's servant. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And it says here that I'm not going to just read every part of what happened, but Gehazi was called upon to do different things for Elisha. Let me read in the 26th verse. It says, "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." This is when her son was dead. And we find that they saw this woman coming. This Shunammite woman was coming, and she said, "It's well, everything's well." But when she got to Elisha, she fell down at his feet. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Sometimes being a servant, you get the wrong impressions of things. Sometimes being a servant, you can be a little bit too quick to judge. Gehazi was wanting to help his master. He was wanting to do something for him, and he came and seen this woman get near to him, and he was going to push her off and get her out of the way. It's not a very easy job, is it? We find Gehazi here and just a little bit down in this same chapter. And there was a... After this woman's child was brought back to life, Gehazi was running back and forth. He was doing things. And he was called upon to take the staff and lay it on this child and do different things. And here's the problem that I'm getting at. Let me read just a little bit more, and I want to express something that's a burden on my heart. This 37th verse, I'm going to skip down. This little child came back to life. "Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. And there was dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." There are times being a servant that you don't like it. You don't like just being a servant sometimes. Gehazi could have said, "Set on the great pot. I've set that thing on and fed so many people. I'm tired of setting on the great pot." That doesn't mean he was setting on it. That means get it out, clean it, put it on the fire. Fill that thing up with pottage. You got people to feed. And instead of Elisha doing it, he told him, "You go do it. Set on the great pot." I don't know what was going on in Gehazi's mind, but I can just imagine. Here I go again. It's Gehazi this, it's Gehazi that. Gehazi do this, do that. I run over here for him, and I run these errands, and I do these things. I try to keep people off of him. Now he tells me, set on the great pot, put food in here. And what happened next? He said, went out in the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds. His lap full came and shred them in the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So now, after he's done all this work, now they find out these were some wild gourds, and these men got in trouble, and he said, "There's death in the pot." So what did they do? It's Gehazi this and Gehazi... What did he tell him? He said, "Bring meal." And he cast it in the pot and said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat, and there be no harm in the pot." And so what happens? Here's Gehazi again. He puts in the meal, and the pot's good, and who gets the praise for it? It's not Gehazi. He got the pot ready. He put the meal in the pot, but there's no recognition. Do you see there's something going on here? If you read these stories and you follow this, and you'll find, as many of you have, there's something going on with Gehazi. He's not getting recognized like he thinks he should. You're not recognizing me. Men, have we got a problem with that? Sisters, you got a problem with that? Can you do things without recognition? Can you do things truly and without being recognized? A servant will do things without being recognized. There was something eating on Gehazi. I just want you to know, before he has leprosy come upon him, there is something working in his life. Because we're going to read about him here in the fifth chapter, that he got leprosy and something bad happened to him. He also was envious. He wanted something after Naaman came by. And again, he's running errands for Elisha. He's running errands for him. He goes over there and he says, go wash in the river. Dip 7 times. And you know that he heard those harsh words from Naaman probably. And he thought to himself, here it is, just being a servant again. I'm not going to get very far, am I? I'm not being just a servant. Sure cost me something. I want to say to us today, it doesn't matter who gets the glory from things. You better watch that God gets the glory, not us. It matters that we keep this out of our life. That we be careful. This I, me, my, myself stuff is out of the picture. God wants to help us today, dear ones. Gehazi goes on and we find him wanting something. It's in the 20th verse, the 5th chapter. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. And that cost him his life. That cost him something that's very beneficial. I want to say, watch out today, all of us, wanting to be recognized for my accomplishments, wanting to be. I've got all these things that I've done, and wanting to be the front and center of pictures, wanting to be noticed in everything that I do, wanting that recognition. There's an ego thing involved in that. I think it's something God wants to work on in our life. He wants to help us to be a better servant. Gehazi, he had something down in his heart. He wanted something. He said, you know, my master says, well, yeah, we could take just a little bit. And he came running after him, and Naaman said, all is well, my master has sent me, the 22nd verse, saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. They said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants, the leprosy there of Naaman? Therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. You see, being a servant is a dangerous job. Have to be careful. Have to watch that you don't get caught up in an attitude. How come I have to do that? Sit on the great pot. Why do I always have to be the one that cleans up the food? Why do I always have to be the one that takes out trash? Why do I always have to be the one that's running all these errands and doing all these things and helping? Somebody else ought to be doing that. You know, we can get a little attitude, just think, well, somebody else ought to be doing this. Comes work day and you think, where's all these strong people at? Where's them folks at that was testifying? Where's everybody at? And you can get to thinking all kinds of thoughts. You've got to be careful. Being a servant, there's anonymity that is important to each of us. Being anonymous, I don't care. As long as the work gets done, Lord, help me to be a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant, Lord, to you. If there's no one shows up, help me, Lord, to be a good servant and give me strength to do what two people could do. Help me to be a good servant. There's times of danger that's out there. There's things that being a servant, we can get into all kinds of situations. Be careful. Just remain anonymous. Not to be seen of men. Not to be seen, not to be on display. And help us, Lord, with our attitudes when we get in the places we're doing things all by ourselves. There's nobody else around. Wonder where they're at. Where's all them folks that's been shouting and praising the Lord and they're all these meetings? They're gone. They got something else to do. But Lord, give me the right attitude. When it's all said and done, I'll say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for your help to us. Oh, Gehazi got himself in trouble. Watch our attitudes, dear ones, fellow servants today. There's a lot of things out there that'll try to cause us to get lifted up. Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And if I be lifted up, not each of us, not each other, but lifting up God. Jesus came not to minister, to be ministered to, but to minister to others. Oh, may the Lord help us today. I have a few things wrote down here. Not a getter, but a giver. Not one who holds a grudge, but a forgiver. Not one who keeps score, but a forgetter. Not a superstar, but a servant. Lord, help us and give us a servant's heart today. There are so many philosophies that are floating around. The Greek said, be wise and know yourself. Rome said, be strong, discipline yourself. Religion says, be good, conform yourself. Epicureanism says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Psychology says, be confident and assert yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied and please yourself. Pride says, be superior and promote yourself. Asceticism says, be lowly and suppress yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Legalism says, be pious and limit yourself. Philanthropy says, be generous and release yourself. And Jesus says, but I say unto you, whoever is great among you, let him be your servant. That's what I want to leave with us today. Watch for the monument. Watch for this thing. It'll appear in every one of our lives. Who we are, what we've accomplished, and all that. The Lord wants servants today. Make me a servant, Lord, for you. That's my little burden I wanted to share with you today. Amen.